Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Happy Friday, January 24th to you. Tell you what, it's better today than it could have been. It's because the Tigers won last night. They beat Wichita State like we thought they would. But it took a 12-2 run at the end of the game to do it. And for moments, better go for stretches of that game last night down at FedEx Forum. Thought the Tigers might lose it. I did. Even with P.J. Haggerty, one of the top scorers in the country. Memphis gets the win, and right now things are fine. But will they be going forward come Sunday? I want to talk about last night's win over Wichita State. Lots to discuss. John told me to watch Illinois last night. I did your homework assignment. I did it. I did what you asked me to do.
Oh, yeah?
Said, watch this Illinois team, Jason.
Oh, well, not
wrong night, huh?
Not, yeah, because they were missing their starting big man.
You didn't think I'd go there. They got killed at home.
They did.
By
bad,
Maryland.
Bad loss. Really bad loss. Group chat was going crazy last night.
I saw
that one.
And maybe, and our guest you'll mention later, I think he was rocked by it, too.
Yeah.
I saw some of his tweets about it. Good win for Maryland.
Yeah.
Grizzlies got another scrub team tonight. That scrub team is the New Orleans Pelicans. Now, somehow, this team's won 4 in a row to get up out of the basement of the West. But I read no Zion, no Brandon Ingram, Ja Morant, questionable, as well as Santi Aldama, both with illness tonight. That's a 6:30 p.m. pregame start here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Tip at 7 with the great Eric Hasseltine on the call. We've got NBA All-Star starters. Jimmy Butler says no to us again. Don't care. AFC and NFC championship games, just a couple of days away.
Yeah, we've got some new details on that Jimmy Butler front, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Including some good stuff from Brian Windhorst. I don't know if you saw that this morning.
I didn't. Congrats on getting your coach.
Thank you very much.
Last thing I got.
Thank you very much. We did hire a geriatric in Las Vegas, there's no doubt.
He's more in spirit, he's closer to 33-43 than he is 73.
Let's pray. We'll get into all that today here on the show. Rob Doster is going to join us at around 11:30 or so. We'll talk to him about college basketball. Got a couple of big ones this weekend. You got Tennessee-Auburn tomorrow. That's a huge game. Obviously,
huge.
No Jani Broome, so it's not as big as it could have been. But we'll get his thoughts on Memphis, you know, kind of at large, where they stand, what he makes of their conference play. We'll get his thoughts on, you know, obviously Tennessee, on Duke, on the rest of the country. So Rob Doster will join us at 11:30. Then at 1:25, Parthu Padyai will join us in studio as he usually does, and we'll talk to him. I always get the sense my man is just, he's just so let down by the team. He's just so let down by the quality of play, by the state of play.
Well, I think we all were last night,
yeah,
in his defense.
And so we'll talk to him about that, and Penny himself, too.
I mean, especially first half.
I mean,
first half was awful.
That was
second half was better, much better.
So he'll join us at 1:25 in studio. So that's Saturday. Looking forward to it.
King George in the building as
King
well.
George
want to
here.
Acknowledge his
welcome,
presence.
Welcome in, King
and
George.
And the executive producer chair.
Filling in for Brad today.
Thank you for your service, sir.
Yes. He was at the Cardinals caravan. Now, are you a Cardinal fan?
I am not. I don't dislike the Cardinals by any means. No ill will.
Are you a baseball man?
I do love some baseball.
Okay.
Were you forced into that?
No.
Okay. I just want to make sure that if you were, let us know. We can get that passed up to HR. I mean, we saw Yao. He was out there at the, was it AutoZone Park?
Yeah, it was at AutoZone.
With Brad, you know.
If I blink too many times, I think
Brad kind of strong-armed you into that one. But again, I remember.
Kind of looked that way in the picture.
I remember those days, man.
But you never know.
I remember those days. I had to do a back talk show. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, so there's dues that have to be paid, and you paid some. You paid some with that appearance. I want you to know I recognize it.
Appreciate it.
And I appreciate you doing that. Here's the question. More disgusting, right? What is more gross and grotesque? My cough this week or that game last night? Now, think about it. Marinate on it. Because I've been coughing all week long on this show.
Yeah, move over to the one that has a cough button.
It's got some issues.
I feel like you
it.
Haven't coughed to start, though. You feel a little, sound a little drier today.
I'm getting better.
It's good.
But it's taken the whole entire week.
2 weeks, basically, to recover.
Yeah. So I want you to think about it. You've had some time to think about it. Now, what's your answer?
Cough's worse. Tigers cleaned it up in the second half.
Okay.
If it was just first half that we were.
Yeah.
I would say that first half of basketball.
Ooh.
But your cough's been nasty. We've all heard it all week long.
Throughout the whole show.
And we're praying that it continues to sort of evaporate, whatever cough, go away.
I took some antihistamines last night.
Yeah, you said you've been on all the stuff, but it takes you longer
to
recover. It doesn't make any sense. You're still a young man.
I know.
We've been through this before.
That's right. We'll go through it again.
It's your way.
It is my way.
Of saying that was nasty.
Yeah, like.
It was nasty.
I would just as soon like to act as though that game never took place. Like, I'm glad they won. Believe me. I'm very glad they won. They pulled it out. That Wichita State team is absolutely dreadful. I mean, I just don't know if you can overstate how bad they are. Like, nobody on that team can shoot. Nobody on that team can do anything. I mean, I honestly.
So,
like,
Beverly was the one that killed us last year.
Yes.
Again, the one that killed you in that game.
And then he had
in the AAC
season
tournament.
High again.
He also had 6 turnovers. But,
yeah.
But, yeah, he was doing it to you again.
That team, I mean, that team doesn't do anything, like, to me. When you watch them play, like, what do? They don't shoot the ball well. They don't create. They don't really get to the free throw line. Like, I don't know. Like, they're kind of like a very, 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 very worse version of North Texas.
Well, usually they don't turn it over, and they had 22 last night, you know. So they were even out of form there.
They were just happy to drain that clock down to 5 seconds, just like North Texas, except they didn't get the shots they wanted pretty much ever.
Say the good first, because I feel like it's going to be a short list, but they did
win. The good is just that they won. That's it.
Stayed at 40 in the net, right? Didn't drop.
Yeah.
Certainly could have been different. And maybe even stretching out to 8 there helps you out a little bit, although I'm surprised you haven't told us yet, and we see they did not cover. But you did stretch it out to 8 there, and maybe perhaps that helps you in terms of width of net. I think you stayed at 40, and you held firm from a metric standpoint. That's the good. You didn't lose the game, and you didn't lose anything. It appears metrically, you're still 40 at KenPom, 42 at the net, stayed the same.
Yes,
the good.
That is the good, and the bad was literally everything else. Turnovers were just bad. Shooting was bad. Kobe Rogers did not play well. You know, you kind of thought like maybe he would have a revenge game a little bit. That was not the case.
I mean, Jordan against Temple was that wasn't great either, was it?
Yeah, I mean, maybe we got to get to Wichita for that revenge game. He only had 3 points in 35 minutes. Dame was not very good last night.
Turned the ball over left and right.
Yeah, I mean,
trying to do too much.
I mean, it was just kind of like the way the Memphis has been winning for the most part in AAC play. It's like PJ Haggerty kind of doing enough. You know, had a big second half. Tyrese Hunter kind of doing enough. 22 and 16 for both of them, and then, you know, not really getting enough.
No one else in double figure scoring.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, Moose had like 3 straight travels in the first half there. I mean, I don't know what the hell was going on last night with this Memphis team. And after the game, you know, Penny was like, I understand it now. You know, like that dude on Instagram, Lethal Shooter, are you familiar with his work, bro?
I am not.
I'm surprised. I bet CJ knows who he is. But anyway, he's this guy that, like, he's like this jump shot master.
And like, I've seen him, and he turns around to the camera before it goes in.
Yeah, and he throws the gummy bears in the water bottle.
Oh, no, I don't know if I've seen that.
And he'll miss the first one, and he'll say, I understand it now. And then he'll make the next one, you know.
Okay, and so, that was Penny last night.
That was Penny last night saying, oh, I've been coaching the wrong way. I see it now. I understand it now.
What's the right way?
Well, according to him, it was running the offense through. He's got to run the offense through P.J. Haggard and Tyrese Hunter.
Well, what was the wrong way? What were you doing?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I think if I were there, I would have asked, like, hey, I mean, isn't that what you're doing anyway?
That's what it appears to me. You don't run sets as the ESPN announcers just seemed completely frustrated with last night in that first half. I mean, that's you run it through Tyrese and P.J. Haggerty, and a lot of times it's them starting off in isolation, going one-on-one.
Maybe he means just don't pass the ball to anybody else, which I would be in favor of.
No.
Just a little 1-2 game.
You didn't use it last night, and he sort of played himself out of it, but you have a post presence and Dane Danger, and you also have a guy who, again, last night not playing his former team, take that away, has played pretty good for you in terms of Kobe Rodgers. You have to pass the ball, John. The two assists first halves, the six assists for the game, they cleaned it up in the second half as far as turnovers, but six assists is a season low.
Yep.
That's not winning basketball. And you can talk about, you know, muddling your way through the AAC against, like John said, that's an awful Wichita State team and surviving last night. But you may not survive against UAB like that. I mean, much less, you know, get into a tournament and make the push we all thought, you know, certainly through the non-conference portion of the season that this team was capable of.
Yep.
You know, it's one-on-one basketball is what we were watching the first half yesterday. And so, again, I shared in the analyst's frustration that, you know, you have the second, third leading scorer in the country, whatever P.J. Haggerty is at this point. He comes through for you late there. But when the offense is bogged down and P.J.'s off to a slow start, where's the post-ups to Dane Danger? Where are the backdoor cuts that we saw earlier this season? My point is, it's getting worse. It just in terms of eyeball look offensively at a time you feel like you should be sharpening yourself, right? Getting better through this AAC. You're surviving it right now. You're surviving it ugly. And for the fourth time in six games, that didn't necessarily come back to bite you last night, but for the fourth time in six AAC games, you were out-rebounded again.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, you're about to play a UAB team, but that's what it does on Sunday. It pounds you on the boards with Yoxel. So how do you not come away? If you weren't before about turnovers, Tigers had 20 of them, 14 in the first half, 7 on the first 15 possessions. If you weren't concerned before, how are you not now?
Yep.
Again, looking at what's still ahead, which UAB is playing like one of the better teams. They're 5-1 with you atop the league, but they're playing now like one of the better teams in the league. What they do is punish you on the boards, top 10 in the country in offensive rebound. That's your weakness.
Yeah.
And so a lot of things, two things in particular to be concerned about right there going into Sunday.
Yeah, listen.
And the whole thing about, I'm with where you started there, just real quick to address that. You're going to run through P.J. and Tyrese. Seemed like we were doing that already. What about throwing in a couple of sets when things are bogged down? Again, Penny, you know, he's the coach. And it does. It doesn't serve us any good. I'm sitting up here talking about, you know, run more half court. But it does seem obvious. It's on Penny Hardaway. And a lot of times we know it's feel, right? And so whether it's, hey, now I'm going to coach more each possession, whatever else, if that's what he means with Tyrese and PJ or, you know, throwing something else in, you got to make an adjustment because right now the trajectory offensively is getting bad. I mean, this is 15 or more turnovers in 5 of your 6 AAC games.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's awful. And I think the direct correlation, you mentioned 5 out of 6 AAC games, 5 out of 6 AAC games, they've underperformed.
You only did that 5 times in your first 13.
Right.
Against better competition.
Right.
So, yeah, obviously there's a drop-off in focus that's happened as a result of going to the AAC because you're playing against worse teams. How do you have more turnovers? Clearly that's a drop-off in focus. But then last night it's like Dane Danger trying to dribble, you know, trying to be a guard. Bro, pass the ball to the guards, you know. Getting caught in the air on passes, you know. I know sometimes you got to live with the PJ turnovers and the Tyrese turnovers, but some of them, many of them, unforced. And so these are bad teams that you're allowing to stay in games that you're giving a chance to beat you because of what you're doing. This is controllable stuff. You know, yeah, they all look at you like a Super Bowl.
Yep.
You should be dismantling them, but you're allowing them to be in these Super Bowls for them. I mean, Wichita State had a chance last night. You know, you had to go 12-2 to finish the game to finish them off.
Yeah, no, it was definitely underwhelming. Yeah. I mean, that's been the theme of AAC play. I mean, if Memphis is laying 10 or more against an AAC team. It doesn't matter if it's here. It doesn't matter if it's there. It doesn't matter if it's in the brand new United States territory, Greenland, right? I don't know if you're up on that. We're going to probably buy Greenland. They don't necessarily want to sell, but we're going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of get back to our roots a little bit, right? Yeah. Kind of just take territories.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter where the game's being played. You just take the free money glitch, which is to take the points with the other team. I mean, I don't know what it is about the AAC. Memphis lets itself get bogged down, get dragged down, and unfortunately,
you're obviously on higher alert. I mean, again, you look at the turnover numbers against better competition. You look at it against worse competition. That's part of it, but I think the larger concern, John, is it seems like the offense is regressing.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You're not finding new components like it feels like you should be at this point. We know Tyrese and PJ can carry your team when they have to, but what about finding what you've got when you're going to have to slow it down in the tournament and throwing it in, becoming more of a half-court offense and throwing it into Dane Danger? Get your big tail into the post and let me throw it into you rather than trying to dribble this ball from half-court to the goal. Like, that, those are things that shouldn't be happening right now. And you're playing lower level competition. And you think, remember, I keep going back to this, and maybe this is what Penny Hardaway was talking about, John, with the whole, it's got to run through them and I got to coach it. Remember what Malcolm Dandridge said? As long as we're playing defense, he lets us do pretty much whatever we want offensively.
Yep.
That's when you have 2 assists and a half, you know, and to go with 14 turnovers, that's just letting guys do whatever. This team has shown in some of the, you know, it's a 5-1 start in the AAC, but you're going to have to coach it. They can't have that much freedom and it not get sloppy. Again, 15 or more turnovers in 5 of the 6 AAC games. Wasn't happening in the first 13.
Yeah.
So you have to stop the regression. It's frustrating because, again, sure, maybe you don't have the debacle you had last year where the wheels come off. None of us believe that's going to happen. But what's alarming is you going backwards. You want your basketball team, excuse me, to be obviously getting better. You're coaching it better as the season goes on.
Yep.
This one, it seems to be, although 5-1 still intact, feels like it's going the other way, especially offensively.
Yeah.
Your defense held on, though, last night. Your defense was the thing that kind of carried you through.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
They could never run off from you.
I think, like, when you make those, you know, I'm not trying to single anybody out, but, you know, Dante Harris is not an offensive guy. He's just not, like.
Again, some of these guys have got to be, and Baraka last night comes and gives you a 3 or whatever else. You know, some of these guys have got to be in roles and can't do too much.
They just can't.
You know, can't try to do too much.
Yeah.
In your hopes of finding an answer or a spark.
Right, right.
And somebody else, you're adding to the issue. That said, you think you got to play 8. You know, last night I think he stretched it to 9 with Baraka. Still think 8's the right number.
Yeah.
But, John, when things are as discombobulated as they were in the first half, you got to stop things. Let's run something.
No question.
And they're capable because they were doing that earlier in the season against better teams.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think one item I might explore is starting Dane, just because I know, like, he at least gives you that offensive look. Whereas Musa can't do anything.
If you're getting the Musa Cisse in that play in the Ole Miss game, that's giving you double-digit rebounds, and he is just he's everywhere.
Right.
That's the guy we're starting. When he's giving you, John, 3 rebounds.
And 3 turnovers.
Last night, 2 points, whatever it was on the turnovers, 2 turnovers, and just 16 minutes. Oh, you got, and maybe that is, maybe getting Dane in there, getting him more comfortable.
Because he's at least a guy you have to worry about from the post, right? I mean.
This feels like the first time in a while you've had a back-to-the-basket post, and it doesn't feel like you're using him enough, particularly when your offense is bogging down.
And Dane's not perfect.
Your guard-oriented offense. No, he's not perfect. A lot of times he tries to do too much. That's why I'm coaching him, saying, get your butt in the post. And Tyrese, PJ, throw it to him.
Exactly.
Because most of these AAC bigs can't guard him down there.
Absolutely not.
This seems like simple stuff, right? The low-hanging fruit. But that's what you take to get through this mess. Yeah, it just seems like you're adding more to the mess with the whole trying to find a spark when guys are playing bad. You just need to simplify things almost.
I like the PJ minutes, the PJ Carter minutes. I think he's kind of showing.
He continues to be very useful.
Yeah, like
definitely useful.
I think he could give you some stuff offensively.
See, PJ Carter in 18 minutes gives you more rebounds than Musa right there, and many of them came at the right time.
Yep.
4 rebounds, but he's also active. Obviously, hits the big 3 off the glass. But 3 of 7 goes 1 of 4 from 3. You know, he's been useful. He's a guy that's, again, should be in that 8.
Absolutely. So, listen, I mean, you won, and so it's nice to be able to sort of sift through this in a win. But it's also, again, a bigger picture.
Problems of, you look to Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think from where I sit, like, I need UAB to beat a good team before I'm worried about them. I mean, I do think Lindenborg will get his for sure. I do think he will make life hard for Memphis. But this is still a UAB team that lost to Longwood, that lost to MTSU, that lost to Illinois State. They'll be up for this, no doubt. I mean, I know that. I know it's going to be a close game.
What I bet I can convince you of is that UAB, like you want your teams to do, is getting better. That's what you want your basketball to do. And they've sharpened things since they got to the AAC play. A lot of it, John's a step down. Some of it, you mentioned Longwood ain't no step, you know, AAC ain't no step down from it. But the point is, you know, you step down competition.
Yeah.
And you keep it simple. And what UAB is doing to people is just, you know, killing them with second chance points.
That's
had 14
right.
of them on 17 offensive rebounds in that win over UTSA.
That's right.
It's their best offense, really.
And so it's going to be a war on Sunday. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you're going to get their best punch. I don't dispute that for a second. But I still think Memphis wins the game. But the picture is emerging, which is you played 6 AAC games, you've underperformed in 5. And that's what they've done.
Well, you've been good enough to still win 5.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You've won, and that's the good thing, but you've underperformed within that. And that's why you're 40th in net.
You can't keep playing with it. That's the point. You can't keep playing with it.
You know, whereas if you're winning these games by 20, 25, you're overperforming, you're 20th in net, you know. You're 20th KenPom. So, you know, look, it was a disgusting game of basketball last night. But I would like to believe that while UAB is going to bring their best punch, I think Memphis throws its on Sunday. I'd like to believe that.
I mean, they responded to the Temple loss with a great first half, wasn't it, against Charlotte?
Yes.
And then let them get back in the game. Talked about that with Jeff this morning. He asked me essentially the same question, don't you expect it? And what is it? It's essentially throwback day with the stripe out and the Memphis State uniforms. And so hopefully, you know, you'll have some energy in the building.
Yep.
And that'll lead you to – and more importantly, though, like I said to Jeff, you know, sure, they'll hopefully give you what you need in terms of that early energy, and that hopefully that'll be something that affects UAB. But you cannot get off to starts, John, where you're turning it over 7 times on your first 15 possessions. That's junior high. You not even against a UAB team.
Yep.
And so imagine, again, what that does to a crowd when you're giving away that many possessions that early on. Hopefully, again, it's the kind of response you saw early against Charlotte, you know, against this UAB team. Because Yoxel, your player of the year candidate from our man Mark.
Yeah.
He had what 24 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 blocks against UTSA.
Yep.
Like, he's legit.
He's very good. I mean, and I expect
so you
him
just
to,
Musa goes on him to start, and then you're pulling Musa early for Dane. That's how we're going to do this?
I don't know, dude.
Nick Jourdain going to be out there?
I mean, look, I'm talking him up.
I'm worried about foul trouble for Memphis's bigs in this game.
Look, Memphis needs to do what UConn did with Zach Edey in the championship game, which is just let Lindenborg get his and make sure that absolutely nobody else does anything. And that's how UConn guarded Edey. They said, "We're not doubling you. We're not trying to throw everything at you. Mm. We're just going to make sure that literally nobody else does anything against us." So you got to make sure that
I'll let you and Penny figure that out.
You know, the Christian Coleman and what's the dude's name? Butta Johnson. Make sure those guys don't do anything. you know, that's the key. Because Lindenborg's going to have 24 and 15. I mean, he's going to do that against this Memphis front line. Like, I'm not going to sit here going into the game expecting him to get shut down by any stretch of the imagination. It's just make sure the other guys on that team don't go off on you. You know, don't let them have a Frankie and Beverly, whatever the dude's name is. Don't let him have that kind of night, because that's how you lose.
Whose name?
Frankie
Beverly Mays?
The guy that went off last night.
Oh, Beverly, yeah.
That man.
It was Beverly. That was Patrick Beverly.
He had like a 1970s ass game, man. It was like janky.
Yeah, but he did that to us last year.
No, I think it's like he slipped through the fabric of time, and he's like stuck in the 70s, and it's confusing us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you like, because there's nothing fluid about his game. It's just weird.
Had an ugly beard, too, if I remember.
Yeah, man. I mean, full credit
to him. Much like yourself.
My beard's rolling right now, bro. Never better right now, you know? But yeah, man, I don't know. He gives us fits. He gives us fits for that, you know, for that game.
You want to be going forward through this AAC and getting more and more excited about, you know, the postseason, don't you?
I'll
but it's like we're going and getting more and more alarmed
well,
by
yeah.
what we're seeing. That's not the way you want it. You want to flip that around.
Now, at least Memphis is winning these games as opposed to last year when they were losing.
I mean, they were 4-0, bro.
Yeah. What are they now? 5-1?
So they were 4-1, and they went 4-2. So, yeah, you're one game better than last. I mean, come on.
It's over. We exercised the demon. We exercised the demons, man.
Yeah, we're past it.
Last
past
year's
that
team
point.
Loses to that Wichita State team last night. I guarantee it. But, yeah, I mean, they got to tweak some stuff, though. That is the thing. That is the key, because you don't want to get in these situations where, you know, if you're getting a tournament, you're down 4 at the half because you turn the ball over. First of all, you're going to be down more than 4 in the tournament. If you turn the ball over 15 times the first half, you're going to be down 15 against a good team, you know, and you're not going to be able to come back the way you did last night. So you got to break that habit, like Linkin Park said. You know what I mean?
One out of every 5 times they're turning over.
That's not acceptable.
330th in the country, 21% essentially, 21% of their possessions, they're turning it over.
And it's really unforced, damn near. It's like not even, you know.
A lot of them unforced.
It's not even like, oh, man, Memphis just can't. It's just unforced mental stuff. I don't know. I'm not alarmed. I think they win on Sunday. If they're laying 10-plus points, I'm betting UAB.
The unforced stuff is 9.3% of possessions, 329th in the country.
Wow.
So 10% of your possessions, 1 out of 10.
You're just giving away.
Literally just throwing the ball away. It was more than that last night, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Especially the first half.
But I think Memphis takes care of business on Sunday.
John says it's going to all be cleaned up come Sunday. He's put the John Martin guarantee on it.
This is our best shot.
Everything except lay them, right? That's what you're saying. And it won't be a double-digit line, will it?
I mean, I don't think so.
What does KenPom have it as?
You tell me.
I want to say earlier he did. He's got it as a 12-point game, bro.
Yeah, so it won't be 12. It'll be like.
But they're going to be double-digit favorites. They're going to be 10.5-point favorites, 11-point favorites.
It'll be like 8.5. It'll settle at 8.5.
No way.
That's my guess. It may open it.
That's too far.
Rob Doster is the co-founder of Field of 68. He's on his way down to, where is it? What is it? What's the Auburn thing? What is it, the plane? Auburn plane? I don't know. I don't know what they call that stuff. He's headed to Auburn for Auburn, Tennessee, and he joins us now. What's good, Rob?
What's going on, fellas? How we doing?
Doing great, man.
Scraping by, but winning.
So
you guys
tired.
Doing all right with the cold weather? I know you guys, you Southern folk aren't built for snow or built for the cold. It gets down to the 30s, and you guys don't know how to function, man. You doing all right, John?
Yeah, everything's I'm just dealing with various ailments, bird flus, things like that. You know, we're just kind of battling through, and we look to our Tigers to kind of carry us through. Although it's been an adventure with them every game. They do find a way to come back and win against Wichita State, but it was ugly. And it's good to have somebody sort of from a national perspective on this, because obviously we're watching it at the molecular level, you know, picking about, you know, every rotation, every guy that plays, whatever. Given what you've seen of Memphis, what you know of Memphis, what do you make of them as they, you know, are 6 games into league play now?
I mean, we know what they can be when they're at their best, right? We know what they can be when they're playing some of the best teams in the country. And at this point, when you're in league play, when there's rivalries involved and there's travel involved and you're playing 2 games in a week, a win is a win is a win is a win, guys. A win is a win. And as long as you keep winning those games, it doesn't matter how pretty it looks. It doesn't matter if style points count. It doesn't matter what your KenPom ranking is. If you guys keep winning games, you're going to be dancing. And if you're dancing, you're going to have a chance to be able to make some noise. Like, I get it's frustrating to watch sometimes, but a win is a win is a win is a win, man. Like, the end goal here is to make sure that when that bracket of 68 teams comes out, that Memphis is somewhere in, like, the 4, 5, 6 range.
Right.
At a place where you'll be able to have a chance to win a game or two. You'll be able to have a chance to make a run. And I told you this, John, on After Dark, man. Like, I think that Memphis with these guards and the fact that they can play 2 different bigs and get 20 minutes a game from 2 guys that can do different things, like, they're a matchup problem. And they're old and they're tough and they got a high floor, because you just know P.J. Haggerty's going to find a way to get to the free throw line. Like, you know he's going to score points, and Tyrese Hunter can go bonkers. Like, they are built to be able to do some things in March. You just got to get there. And whether it's an ugly league win against Wichita State, it is still a league win against Wichita State. And that's kind of where I'm at with it, man. Like, we're at the end of January. It's about to be February. These dudes have been going hard since, what, like early June? A win is a win is a win is a win. There's no such thing as a bad win.
No, I get it. I get that, and I subscribe to it, Rob, 100%. And if nowhere else in any other sport, more so in college basketball, just because we've seen it, these guys, they're not pros. Inconsistency is part of college basketball and part of college athletics. It just is. I think the concerning thing for John and I, as much as we appreciate, you know, okay, 5-1, they haven't dropped or anything, is that it appears like for the second straight year, and I don't want to say it's going to go to the proportions it did last year, but you watched the offense last night. One of the ESPN guys said it. They said, I want to like this team, right? Because of every reason you just laid out, Rob. But here we are in this AAC, which, oh, by the way, has fallen behind Conference USA just in terms of power rankings over at KenPom, and you've turned it over 15 or more times in 5 of the 6 games. They only did that 5 times in the first 13. They've been out-rebounded in 4 of 6, and maybe the rebounding is something you can't fix. You know, that's something UAB does, and it's their strength, and that's obviously going to be, you know, something the Tigers have to address. But the fact that they're giving the ball away as much as they are, Rob, you can allow teams like UAB. Last night, even if it had been Wichita State, they had 20, Memphis had 20 turnovers. You can allow them to undo this good work, all those good things that you're pointing to, allow to undo that good work that you've done, and then you're sitting in 8-9, you know, as the AAC tournament winner, as opposed to the 5 seed that you've, you know, done the work to be. I think that's the greater concern. And then, you know, all of a sudden you're facing a 1 like you were a few years ago against Gonzaga, and you've wasted what you had, you know, gotten away from, that hope that you'd be out of that 8-9 slot, which they've been the last 2 years they've been in the tournament.
No, look, I get it, man. And there's a level of expectation with the way that this season started and the way that Penny's kind of spoken about it and the way that last season ended, right? Like, I get it, man. Memphis fans are hungry.
Yep.
What I'll say is this. To me, turnovers are a focus thing, right? Turnovers are an execution thing. Are you detailed in terms of what you're trying to run? Are you making the right reads? Are you able to run your offense as that next pass there, right?
Yep.
Rebounding, to me, is an effort thing. And those are two things that will fall behind when you kind of overlook an opponent and say, okay, I think that we're Memphis. We should be dancing, and we're just playing Wichita State. Like,
that's part of it.
You know, that, oh, yeah. To me, that's part of what it is here. And I think that they're playing with fire a little bit, and I get it. And I'm sure that Penny gets it, too. Like, he's not dumb, man. He understands this. And I think those guys do kind of need a fire lit under their behind. But I'll also say, like, it's kind of human nature, too, right? It's hard. I think the hardest part, and it's impressive that Gonzaga is always able to do this, but the hardest part about going and playing this ridiculous non-conference schedule and then having some league games like this is it's backwards of what a normal college basketball season is, in the sense that most teams at the Memphis level will spend a non-conference, like, they'll have 3 or 4 games where they're really, really good, non-conference games. Maybe you got a couple games in the NTE, whatever it is. And then the rest of them are bye games that you're expected to win, where you're playing the likes of Wichita State and UAB and whoever. And I think that when you spend November and December playing all of these nationally relevant, national televised, you're in Maui, you know, you're playing Ole Miss on ESPN, and everybody's paying attention to it. And you're one of the biggest stories, not just in Memphis, but in all of college basketball. Like, you can get fired up for that, and there's a level of, all right, let's go, man. This is go time. And then you get to league play, and the same buzz and the same pop isn't there. So part of it is, I think part of this is just like human nature and just one of the things that you kind of have to fight through in this current situation as Memphis. So I'm not ready to write them off by any stretch of the imagination because I know how good that they can be. I am going to hope that they're not going to play with fire and get burned because eventually that will happen. So I don't know if it'll take benchings. I don't know if it'll take a little bit of extra sprints and practice, maybe an extra conditioning here or there. But I do think that that's part of what is happening here, and it's part of the battle that you got to face when you're Memphis and you're kind of in this situation. Does that make sense? Like, I don't
makes all the sense in the world.
Like it's not a video game, right? Like, these are human beings; these are kids. They're getting paid a certain amount of money, and it's kind of hard to get yourself fired up for a game that doesn't have the same kind of buzz and pop as something that you had in November, when you know that you've done the hardest part. Now you just got to go make sure you don't mess something up, and it's hard there's only a certain level of motivation that you can get when it's not, okay, we have to go win this game. Mm-hmm. And it's, look, just don't lose this thing, man. Just don't do something dumb here. We'll be okay.
Yeah, that's not exactly, you know, electrifying. Just, you know, don't go out there and do some, you know, I absolutely agree. If you're handicapping Memphis as a seed on their seed line, what are we setting the over-under at?
I think they're like probably a 5 right now, right? Yeah. But it all kind of depends on what they do the rest of the year. I'm going to just go ahead and assume that they probably lose another one at some point. I mean, just lead play going on. There's going to be a loss somewhere in it, right? But you'll lose one more game. And as long as it's not, you know, at home to some sub-200 team or something like that, like, you're probably looking at like a 5-6 seed range. And if you go out and you win the AAC tournament as well, like, maybe it's a 4-5 seed range. And I do think that there is a, like, people are going to remember, I say this all the time, right? At the end of the day, there are 10 human beings in a room making decisions on seeding and making decisions on brackets and making the decision on, like, it's impossible to do this in a way that does not have some kind of inherent bias, right? Because there's 10 human beings in a room making a decision. And I think it's very hard for people in that room to not remember what they saw Memphis do and some of the wins that Memphis had and not make a decision based on that regardless. Because you know damn well that the committee is not watching Memphis play Wichita State on a Thursday night, right?
Right.
You know damn well that they're not turning that game on. Because a lot of people aren't turning that game. They're paying attention to Maryland beating up on Illinois, right? That's probably something that Illinois doesn't want people to remember. But all anyone's going to look at the end of the day is they're going to say, man, I saw Memphis. They looked so good against UConn. They looked so good out in Maui. And then they went 18-2 in the ACC. They're in the AAC. Yeah, man, it's Memphis. They're back. I think that's kind of the way that I would take it from a 35,000-foot view, if that makes sense. So I understand that John Morin is the king of negativity, right? He's always trying to bring Memphis down. John, I'm here to cheer you up, man. I know you're not feeling well. It's cold outside. There's a little snow on the ground. I'm here to cheer you up, man. I got you. Anytime you need a boost, you just let me know.
I appreciate it.
I just had a Celsius. There's no traffic on my drive to the airport. My flight is leaving out of the gate. It has the really good chicken and peach. There's two chicken and peach at the Philly airport. One of them is not good. One of them actually is good. And I'm going to go to the good chicken and peach. I'm going to get myself some crab fries. I'm going to have a nice cold beer. I'm going to get on my flight. I'm going to take a nap. I got upgraded to first class. So I'm in a good mood, John.
I see.
Boost. I got your back, baby.
I love it, man.
Hey, Doster, if you were commissioner of this rinky-dink basketball conference that has fallen behind again, go to KenPom. It's the first time in its history, I'm pretty sure, that it has fallen behind Conference USA. And you have to give Conference USA some credit. I need to as an AAC guy now, unfortunately, because they've come from the 20s to, I think it's 9th behind the A-10 now for them. And then you got the AAC sitting at 10th. My question to you is, if you're the commissioner of this conference, what do you do to help make it better? I mean, other than going to these presidents and ADs and saying, you guys have got to get more serious. I remember years ago, we've discussed it, the SEC was concerned about the number of teams they were sending to the tournament. And, you know, they met, hey, we got to hire better coaches and everything else. We got to invest. And you look at this thing now, I'm just saying, can you, is there anything you can do to get this thing, you know, you don't have Kelvin Sampson anymore. Dusty May was a hell of a coach. He's gone from FAU, and now that program not close to what it was. You got Memphis sitting there, and we'll see with UAB and Andy Kennedy. There's nothing here, Rob. How can you fix it or get it, you know, at least better than the CUSA that has surpassed it at this point?
I'll make the argument here that how down it is this year is a little bit more cyclical than anything, right? Like, I know FAU has a good number when it comes to NIL comparatively for that level, and I believe in John Jacobs, man. John Jacobs is a really good coach. He comes from that Scott Drew coaching tree. A lot of those Scott Drew guys, like whether it's Paul Mills at Wichita State, who had a lot of success at Oral Roberts, like they find a way to get it done. So I'll buy into FAU and John Jacobs getting this thing turned around. Yeah. I think if it's something like a UAB, Andy Kennedy, that's the perfect level for him and the perfect kind of job for him. And I have no doubt that UAB is going to get this thing going. It might just be not everybody adjusts to a new league the way that Houston adjusts to a new league in the Big 12, right? So it might just take a little bit of time for them to get going there. Someone like a Wichita State with the the money that you have backing it, right, with the some of the big name donors that we all know are multi-billionaires with a B, right?
Yep.
And the amount of fan support they got, like Wichita State should be better. That's the one where I'm saying, like, you guys got to start.
It's killing us. It's killing the conference that program is not better than it is, not nationally relevant.
Yeah, you got to get this thing going. And then, like, South Florida could have been really good. And obviously what happened there was a tragedy with Amir Abdul-Rahim. So I think that this is more an unlucky and unfortunate series of events, the way that it kind of played out. Like, I don't think that the AAC is as down as it is right now. Obviously, it's probably not as good as it was when you had Dusty May and Houston and Memphis playing as well as they're playing right now. Like, obviously, it was better then, right? But I do think that we're a little bit further down than what I think this league will actually be moving forward. I'm actually buying, like, five or six of the top programs in this kind. USF, too. Like, USF's got some pretty good money for NIL comparatively for their level as well. But might not be Memphis money. Might not be Jason.
But doesn't that make it that much more embarrassing, though? Like, the resources are not even close, and yet here we are. I mean, it's embarrassing to me. It's embarrassing to be associated with this rat league. It is.
John, I thought we were going to be positive.
No, this is one where
we were cheering them on.
I said at the time they should have joined the Pac-12. I don't care what it cost, because your basketball program's down on the vine being this BS league. I mean, you'd had games against Gonzaga and, you know, Boise State.
I actually don't disagree with that, man. Look, if you can be – I think Memphis is really comparable when it comes to what they are kind of as a basketball program to a San Diego State.
Yes.
Or maybe there's like a little bit above like a Boise State or a Colorado State, but they're kind of like at that same similar level, like a Utah State. And those are the teams that are going to make up the meat of the new Pac-12 conference, right? Obviously, Gonzaga will be there. Obviously, Washington State and Oregon State are coming back. And like that travel would be a bear to do it, but I do think that when it comes to like the level of competition that you are going to be playing against from a basketball perspective, that would have made a lot of sense. And I was selfishly kind of hoping that they would go there because we get Memphis and Gonzaga twice every year.
I know.
We have Memphis and San Diego State twice every year. Sign me up for that.
I know.
But, big picture in terms of the AAC, it sucks right now. Like, I'm not going to sit here and try to sugarcoat it, but I do think that that is more of a, like I said, a cyclical thing and a confluence of some unfortunate events that kind of led it to where it's as bad as it is.
Hey, I hope you're right, my guy, obviously, because Memphis ain't going anywhere. They've doubled down on this league. So I hope you're right that the coaches that have come in. And I mean, obviously, USF, very tragic with the death of Amir Abdul-Rahim. They definitely were on the on the up and up there. They won the damn thing last year. All right, you're going down to Auburn.
Hey, John, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. So, do you remember when you called me and me and Jason were like, yeah, I think Penny's good, man. And you were like, I don't know. And I tried to talk you into Penny, and look what happened there. Maybe I'm right.
Maybe you're right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Maybe so.
Positivity over here.
Maybe so. All right, you're going down to Auburn, and I just saw the tweet from Goodman that Jani Broome is a game time decision. I don't know if that was expected this soon. Is this gamesmanship from Bruce Pearl and Auburn, or is there a chance that Jani Broome actually comes back?
I think there is a chance that he actually comes back. What I've been hearing is that the ankle injury was not as bad as they initially expected it to be. And Jani Broome, I don't know if he actually feels pain. Right. Do you remember when his shoulder popped out and then 2 days later he was playing in another game? Remember that? Like, his shoulder pops out, he goes, sits on the bench, he's eating some candy on the bench, and he comes back 2 days later and he's playing in a game like nothing actually happened. And when it comes to sprained ankles, that tends to be like a pain tolerance thing. It's not something like a strained hamstring or you got like a torn oblique or whatever it is. It's not a muscle injury where you can make it worse by trying to play through. Like, sprained ankles are, if you could deal with the pain and you could deal with the soreness that you're going to have the next day and you can kind of find a way to manage that long term, you can play on bum ankles. And I think Jani Broome's the kind of guy that just lives his life by the mantra, I might be hurt, but I'm never actually injured. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I just think that he's one of like these. I don't know if he feels pain, because the way that ankle looked when he went down with that ankle injury, I was like, oh Lord, I hope that he didn't. Is he gonna have to get that amputated? Like, is he gonna have to get that thing cut off? Did it pop out of the socket? Why is it pointing to the left? You shouldn't be doing that. And then 2 weeks later, he's like, yeah, you know what? I might be coming back for the Tennessee game. Maybe it's just because I'm going down there. You think about that, John?
Yeah, I think he wants that field of 68 bump. There's no question about it.
Yeah,
shows.
He must be listening to this interview right now, and he was like, oh, wow, that guy is really bringing a jolt of energy.
Man,
to John Martin's life.
Are you on Celsius or crack? I mean, I think there is some debate. But, no, I mean, obviously that matchup has so much more juice. I think Tennessee actually could pull it off without Broome. I think, you know, Auburn's been really good without – you know, they've done as well as you could ever hope, but yeah, you know, obviously they're just not anywhere close to the same team. So I will bring up one more game. I told Jason, I said, listen, yesterday on the show, I said, I know we don't do a lot of national college basketball here, but you got to watch the Illinois team. Like, they are fun as hell. They play great offense. Like, they run great stuff.
Because I'd stopped watching after the Tennessee game.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, he said, get back on them, Jason. That's what he told me.
And then, of course, he watches last night. And they get absolutely blasted by this Maryland team at home.
I saw Doster in shock, too, last night on Twitter.
What's going on, man?
Well, I'll tell you this. We talk about Jahni Broome being as tough as anybody in the country, right? Like, Illinois needs some of that. Whatever Jahni Broome, whatever level of tough, however, wherever that comes from, they need that. Because there's always an excuse with Illinois. Like, you see their ceiling, right? I'm never going to forget what that performance was at Oregon. The way they just completely ripped their souls out of their lifeless body. They left the Ducks there. Remember Duck Hunt back in the day? That's exactly what it was.
Yep.
For Illinois. But, I mean, there's an excuse for everything. Oh, we lost at home to USC because we didn't have Yakushonis and he makes everybody better. Oh, you know, I have my forearm is sore. I don't think I'm going to be able to play today. Oh, you know, I have strep throat and I'm try to risk getting my teammates sick with the same awful infection and awful sickness I have. Oh, you know, we played Michigan State on the road and we would have beat them except Yakushonis got into foul trouble. At some point, look, we know how good they can be, right? But if you're going to go out and win six games in March like this, circumstances are not going to be perfect for you for six straight games. They just aren't. Someone's going to get in foul trouble at some point. Someone's going to turn an ankle or get kneed in the thigh or have a sore knee or pull a hamstring. Someone's going to jam a finger. You got to find a way to be able to win when the situation is not absolutely perfect for you. And I don't know if Illinois can do that. Like, yesterday, the Michigan State one, I can kind of get past, right? And working past USC, like, I get it. They messed up with their scout at Desmond Claude, and he went nuts and all of this other stuff. But when you kind of roll over and die at home just because you have one guy that's sick and out, like that was one that was like a pretty big red flag for me. So I got to imagine that Brad Underwood is absolutely lighting those dudes up in practice, probably right now as we're talking on this. And I hope they find a way to get it figured out, man. Because when Illinois is good, they're as good as anybody in college basketball. John's right about that one, Jason. John is right about that one.
See, but you know, but you're right though. They do come up with excuses.
If I'm giving this dude credit for something, you know he's got to be making a pretty good point.
But we have toughness questions now. After yesterday. I'm with you though, Doster. I'll still continue to believe that they're capable.
I got toughness questions about John Martin, and he's still doing all right. So
that's right.
Maybe it's just I'm battling this week.
Well, let's get through the Final Four first, and let's see how he does down there.
That's a good point. Good point. That's the real test. Yeah. Hey, Rob, appreciate the time
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure, fellas.
Yes, sir. He is Rob Doster from Field of 68, obviously, where you can catch some excuse me a little bit of my work and the best college basketball coverage in the land. Going to Auburn.
I mean, he's completely just. Change the tone on Memphis, I think. Comes on and he's sunshine. And I appreciate that on a day where we're maybe a little down after a win. Rob trying to pick us up. Even try to pick us up about the conference.
Yeah.
That's conference dog water.
Absolutely.
You're not going to change it to a, you know, to all of a sudden this is
yeah.
this is the good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. You're trying to sell me some hopium there.
I don't think it's cyclical here in terms of that. I think we're down bad.
Yeah, the cycle ended.
We're down to be bad.
Now, Parr tells me that they've been behind CUSA all year.
I'm sure this is not new today.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's, but it's kind of noticed.
Oh, yes, it is. It is the first year, though. It is the first year this has ever happened.
Right.
Yeah, I wasn't telling you that they passed them as of today.
Right. I didn't know if it was like a thing that happened. Like,
no, but what you can also, and Doster didn't hit this, like CUSA has slowly been building up, and didn't you pulled UAB from there?
Yep.
Now the conference they left is better.
Yep.
And how bad is that?
So bad. It is so bad.
You need Wichita State and the Temples to get up off their.
I'm not holding my breath.
Well, Temple, no. Hadn't been anything since really Dunphy, and he was, it's been bad.
That was 12 years ago.
South Florida, man. Wichita State. There's at least investment there. They should be better.
Right. Anyway, good stuff there from Rob. We'll come back with the rundown. Lots more to come here on the show. Parthu Padia going to join us at 125. Stick around. Jason John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.